At this time, we sing together our opening hymn, 398. Please stand. Our service for this morning begins on page 15. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. At this time, I will direct you to your proper's insert as we speak together the introit, half verse by half verse. The Lord lifts up the humble. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He heals the brokenhearted
and binds up their wounds.
He determines the number of the stars.
He gives to all of them their names.
Great is our Lord, and abundant in power.
He
The Lord lifts up the humble. The Lord be with you. We pray together the collect of the day as it's found on your propers insert. Let us pray.
Almighty God, you exalted your Son to the place of all honor and authority. Enlighten our minds by your Holy Spirit, that confessing Jesus as Lord, we may be led into all truth. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for the 17th Sunday after Pentecost comes from Ezekiel, chapter 18. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, declares the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear now, O house of Israel. Is my way not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? When a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. For the injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, when a wicked person turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he shall save his life, because he considered and turned away from all the transgressions that he had committed. He shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, are my ways not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, I will once again direct you to your small catechism insert. Today, we continue our confession on the Lord's Prayer. What is the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer?
Give us this day our daily bread.
What does this mean?
God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving.
What is meant by daily bread?
Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like.
The epistle comes from Philippians, chapter 2. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from man,
we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. This is the gospel of the Lord. At this time, I'll direct your attention to page 22 of your hymnal as we confess together our God-given faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we sing together our next hymn, number 261. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Everyone likes a good proverb, right? Like a fun little pithy saying. They're fun, aren't they? I got a few that I found just for our enjoyment this morning, right? You can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs. That's good, right? How about this? There's more than one way to skin a cat. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. If you've ever been dove hunting, you know what that means. Strike while the iron is hot. Right? Don't make a mountain out of a molehill. People who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. The early bird gets the worm, and there are plenty more fish in the sea. Everyone likes a good proverb. They're fun. And, you know, I'm sure you probably have your own favorites. Maybe there's some that get passed around your family, or maybe there's a proverb that, you know, grandpa used to say and you're still saying it now, right? That wisdom that has been instilled in you through this proverb or through your little saying, right? Now, some of these proverbs, even some of the ones I've read already, like, they're so common, they're so thrown around that they become little more than platitudes, right? They just have no meaning anymore. But every once in a while, when we hear one of these proverbs, we have to pause and think, and the insight and the wisdom that is contained in there actually allows us to live better lives, right? Or to live our life according to said proverb. Well, today in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel gives us a proverb to consider. He says, "The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge." I've never heard this one, except for in Scripture. My grandpa never taught me that one, right? But the idea behind this parable is that the fathers are the ones who are eating, and yet it is the children's mouth who reacts to the bad taste. And so in this particular instance, what was going on was the fathers had sinned, and yet the children are the ones who think they need to pay for it. Or at least they're perceiving that they are paying for it. And so to understand, you know, we have to understand a little bit about the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is writing from Babylon. And so generation after generation in Israel, they have sought after false gods. And eventually God just gets fed up with the whole thing. He goes, "Fine, you're going to seek after false gods. I'm just going to send in the Babylonians and they're going to carry you all away." And so Ezekiel is writing from what is essentially an Israeli refugee camp in Babylon. And all of these Israelites who are stuck there with him seem to be blaming the generations past. "Well, it's not our fault that we're here in captivity. It's not our fault that we don't get to be in the promised land. Mom and Dad are the ones who taught me this sin. Mom and Dad are the ones who sought after false gods. I would never do anything wrong." They're passing the buck. Or in other words, they're using this proverb to justify themselves. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. And what does God say about the proverb? No more. You can't blame your generations past for all of your problems. God isn't interested in hearing you blame somebody else for your trouble and your hardship and your sin. You're getting exactly what you deserve. And so God wants them to know that the reason they are in exile, the reason that they have to experience their current pain, is because of their own sinful nature, their own sinful desires, the things that they have done with their own hands and their mouths and their thoughts. And of course, the same rings true for us today. We struggle the exact same way that the Israelites did, don't we? It's very difficult for us to take ownership of our sin. In fact, even since Adam and Eve, the first thing we do when we sin is we like to point at somebody who's not me. Because it's never my fault. We imagine it must be somebody else's fault. Or maybe we'll just blame it on the world at large. You know, that's just the way things are today, so I'm just going to go with the flow, and I guess I just have to do that. Or maybe we do blame our parents. Right, for one sin or another, maybe it was the way that we were raised. But there's one thing for certain. It's not my fault. If I can say it loud enough, if I can say it enough times, if I repeat it to myself enough, I might actually start to believe it. I could make a case convincingly enough to you guys that it's not my fault. And if you believe me, then at least I'll feel better about it. Maybe I'll invent a new proverb. Except I don't have to. Ezekiel gave me one, right? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. It's very painful to admit that you're wrong, even if you just have to admit it to yourself. It hurts. You know, even as we did in our confession this morning, to admit that we are poor, sinful beings and we have nothing good within us at all, I mean, at least, you know, part of the time I'd like to convince myself I'm a good person, but it's just not true. It's not true of anybody in humanity. We are evil people. And because of that, we always cast the blame in other directions rather than doing what God suggests in Ezekiel, taking responsibility. Taking responsibility for our own actions. So if you are an unrighteous person and you leave behind your unrighteousness and you live a life according to God's word, God says you'll live. And if you leave behind righteousness and you live as a wicked person, God says you will die. That's your responsibility. That's what you have to figure out in this life. How do you do the right things and avoid the wrong things? It's not by pointing fingers. It's not by casting blame. But it all starts with this one little word from our text today. Repent. Repent of all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Repent of your sins. Turn away from them. Or as the text says too, like cast them away. Like throw them as far away from you as is humanly possible. But even this we can't do on our own. If we want to stop casting blame, if we want to stop making excuses for the things we do wrong, it has to start somewhere. Where does the solution begin? And we know it begins with God's Son. We know it begins with Jesus, because as hard as I want to pick myself up by my own bootstraps and finally live a righteous life, I can't do it without the Son of God. He has to forgive me. He has to empower me. He has to give me the strength that only He has in order for me to have any kind of righteousness within me. And Jesus can do this for you too. He can grant you this forgiveness. He can grant you this faith. Why? Well, because He was perfect. Because He truly is the Son of God. Because He didn't live by Proverbs. He lived by God's Word. He lived by faith perfectly. And He didn't just leave us little pithy sayings that we can throw out at the most opportune time. But He left us with forgiveness. The forgiveness that He won through His death and resurrection. He left us with forgiveness that is poured out to us in the baptismal font. He left us with the forgiveness that will be in your mouth as you feast on His body and blood today. Jesus left you with everything you need to be considered righteous in God's sight. Because He shed His blood for you. Because He died for you. Certainly, in our text, God gives us a responsibility. We need to leave wickedness behind and live lives of righteousness. But Jesus has a responsibility first. It's in dying for you. It's in declaring your sins forgiven. His responsibility is for your salvation. And He never passed the buck. But He takes the burden on His own shoulders, and He does it willingly. That way, this just God who has to punish wickedness and reward righteousness, He can be a just God. Because He punishes your sins against Christ. And so Jesus dies. And He takes all of those sins, all of your burdens, all of your excuses, and He takes them with His dead body into the tomb. And that's where they remain. Because 3 days later, Jesus rises victorious and your excuses are gone. You don't need them anymore. Because you have forgiveness in Jesus' name. You have forgiveness in His cross. You have forgiveness proclaimed to you because He is indeed alive. All this He accomplishes for you. That way you might have a clean heart. And so we sing the offertory. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. In addition to the prayers listed in our bulletin this morning, we also remember Jerry Woodard, a member here at Zion who is close to heaven. O Lord, hear your people who cry to you in need, and remember us according to the favor you have shown to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, that we may walk in the path of salvation made known in your word. Hear our complaints and quiet them by your merciful deliverance, that we may respond with trust and thanksgiving. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Encourage us, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, that we may not lose heart, but being of one mind and one will, may serve you with gladness, doing the works of your kingdom, and speaking your word of witness throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Shine your light upon us, O Lord, that we may do what is good and right, and live as faithful citizens in our nation. Bless Donald, our president, J.B., our governor, and all those elected and appointed to make, administer, and judge our laws. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Enlighten us with godly knowledge and wisdom, O Lord, and bless those who pursue science to improve our lives and the lives of those in greatest need. Bless all honorable vocations and all honest labor, and lead the unemployed to good jobs and noble work, not only for their own interests, but for the good of us all. Lord, in your mercy, show us your compassion, O Lord, and in your mercy grant healing, comfort, and peace to all those who suffer. Deliver them from all their afflictions, pain, sorrow, and fear. Especially this day, remembering before you, Jerry, those on our prayer list, and those we remember in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, unite us, O Lord, that we may be of one mind and one will in doctrine, witness, and service. Bless us as we come at your bidding to receive the body and blood of your Son at his table. Grant that what we receive in this holy communion, we may keep in holy hearts and holy lives. Lord, in your mercy, help us, O Lord, to remember the faithful who loved and served you and who now rest from their labors. Bring us with them to that most blessed day when together we shall dwell in your presence on high forevermore. Lord, in your mercy, grant to us all things good and needful for this body and life, and profitable for salvation, and keep from us all things harmful, that we may endure to the day of our Lord's coming. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our service continues on page 24.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God, because thou didst mightily govern and protect thy holy church, which the blessed apostles and evangelists instructed in thy divine and saving truth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
thank you.
remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it all. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
to the table of the Lord. Would you body of Jesus Christ? Would you body of Jesus Christ? now in this true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, both strengthened and preserved in body and soul, to life and blessing. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen.
The body of Jesus. Our service continues on page 29. Please stand. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Please be seated. Our closing hymn is number 359.